Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Welcome to the Black House, 106.1 FM, Wellington Access Radio. It is a dreary old Saturday, and you're in the studio today with Eddie and Tete. How you doing, man?
Yeah, blessed, black, and highly favored.
What you been up to this week?
Man, what have I been up to this week? I was chilling, doing some music work, shooting some things, talking to some people. I actually went to a video release last night. Shout out to bros at Brookhaven and dropped their first music video. It was done by Theo Villa, who actually did my video as well. Definitely check that out if you haven't yet. So they're dope up and coming.
What's the kind of vibe for that one though?
Oh bro, it's pretty fire. Like so the hip hop, but it kind of, I don't know, it's a combination to me. It feels like grungy but also hip hop, and the video gives like I don't know, it gives vibes of 90s-esque, but in a ways that feels really modern too. Like the cuts are insane, the storyline is dope as hell, some dope acting and supporting cast and that shit too, so check it out. I always gotta ask, can I curse on it?
Yeah,
my bad. Appreciate it, but yeah.
I can't remember, I feel there's a couple of podcasts I listened to and someone's been like, hey, like, and it was, I think it's like there's a couple of Scottish comedians I'm in the following, and it's the sort of thing, it's their podcast, and they had like a guest, like one of them had like a heart attack, so like they were like off the show for a couple of six, 8 weeks sort of thing. And they had like someone else like, oh, we should do a couple of guest episodes here and there. And someone's like, hey, well, like, am I allowed to curse on here? It's like, it's encouraged. It's not only allowed, it's encouraged. Which is not quite the Black House vibe. I feel like we're like, hey, well, it's allowed.
If it happens, I'll allow it. If that old celebrity death match, I'll allow it. Yeah. So,
I feel like I always have that sort of thing sometimes where it's like, hey, well, like the views and language expressed are those of the individuals on the show and not reflective of the
Black House.
Not reflective of the views of the Black House or Wellington Access Radio.
Yeah.
Because that's actually the craziest thing for me. I feel like whenever I see, especially in the UK, when you have like the BBC One Extra, like radio sets, you have like, whether it's grime artists or drill artists, like the kind of biggest thing for me is watching, like the funniest thing I feel was like, obviously there's always the bits where the censors slip or like the artists are trying not to swear, and then obviously the censors are there to like catch the moments that doesn't. It's funny to see when they don't slip, but also it's really funny watching someone like, I don't know, like Giggs, for example, where it's but I'm listening to him and it's like, and it's almost like I feel like he has made an art out of actually just knowing when to not, like, it's that sort of thing with some of the things. Like, I feel some artists just kind of like, they'll just go for it and expect the censor to pick it up. Giggs just like self-moderates, which is just the coolest shit. It's like one of the things I'm just like, that in itself is a talent, to be able to like go through like your biggest songs and
bar for bar,
self-moderate sort of thing.
That's true. I mean, heck, we know how many artists from Wayne to Eminem always like, man, I forgot my lyrics. And it's like, oh, I forgot I wrote that. Who wrote that shit? But
my favorite one is when GZA did the Tiny Desk concert, and it's like Liquid Swords, the Soul Rebels are like going, and he just pauses, and you guys like, damn, sometimes you forget the verse of your biggest story.
Straight up.
But speaking of hip hop stuff, like before we're going to get into a bit more on Sinners, I reckon, picking up from our last week's episode. Before we get into that though, I feel like I've been going deeper into some hip hop stuff recently, because obviously I've been put onto the Joey Badass, like TDE beef sort of things, and man, that's just crazy. Because and obviously, like, feels like someone sent through the Red Bull Spiral freestyle, which again, like in itself, just fantastic. Like, and then obviously because of that, people are like, hey, well, like obviously the shots that Joey's taking in that, obviously Absol's in there, and obviously the whole like, it's part of that whole dynamic. Real cool. Like, if you haven't got a chance to check it out, go check that out, because just like bars. Like,
yeah, bars for days. And it's dope because we don't really see that many cyphers anymore. And I don't know. I think it was you in the group chat who mentioned that Red Bull, at least as far as the online streaming visuals, is one of the few people who actually showcases those cyphers really well. Yeah, and it was in such a friendly way. Like, I know we say beef, but it wasn't real beef for those who are listening. It was just like friendly sparring, and Joey Badass, was Big Sean, and Absol, whom mostly I think Joey dropped a track, was it 2 months ago now, 3 months ago, a while back, just kind of calling out people, and it fell flat for some, and for others were like, I wasn't really all of that, but... Now, with seeing them come all together, and it felt like a posse cut, too. Like, I could listen to that record.
It was one of those ones where, like, just if you ever watch, like, the radio sits of, like, Kano and Gets and stuff, and they're, like, you can see how they're, like, picking up all the Wu-Tang. You know, they're picking up different their own bars and stuff. Like, kind of, like, it wasn't so much they were picking up each other's bars, ends of people's bars, but it was, like, being able to, like, respond to each other as they're flowing, sort of thing.
It was the best. It looked so natural. I don't know how many takes they did, but I'd be shocked if it wasn't just like off the cuff type stuff.
It's cracked up. Someone saying like, you know, Big Sean, like just consistently, like, you know, Big Sean went hard on that, but obviously overshadowed by like.
It's tough, man. It's so tough. And we were talking about this in chat. Like, I love Big Sean. I think sometimes his lack of inflection at times can make some things go over people's heads and get underappreciated, myself included. That's all. But yeah, I mean, Joey A. Absol was Absol. You know, he just went crazy. Little Soul Burger was his last project. Go listen to that if you haven't yet. But yeah, it's insane time.
I saw his Colors, Absol's Colors show, bro. That goes, it's just so good. And it's just like, I think what I like is obviously Colors is like a kind of platform like that, obviously doing a lot of like newer, younger artists sort of thing. But I love it when they get someone who's like been in a scene for ages sort of thing, and they'll just bring them on sort of thing. Yeah. Like, I remember they did DEE, and that's just one of those things, and like just and like sick, just like absolutely cool, like fire set to see.
I don't think I've seen that one. I need to go check that out. DEE's.
But yeah, like what I found, because then obviously I saw that spiral, and then obviously I went back and was like, hey, what's the history of this whole sort of thing? And to be honest, like I'm. Like, for obviously the phenomenon that the Kendrick-Drake kind of beef was, I'm like, this is just more interesting to me in the sense of, like, I have very little stake in either of these camps. Like, that's true. I'm sitting where, like, I've been probably in the less of a Drake fan for quite a while sort of thing. So I feel like I was like, cool, I had my horse in that race that I wanted to back, right? This is something where I'm just like, it's fun to be like, oh, cool, like I don't really have a stake in either of these artists. I feel like I like Joey Badass. I've heard some cool shit from him. I'm like, so I don't really have a stake in this. So then it just makes it more interesting actually being like, hey, well, I actually want to hear what you guys are saying a bit more as well.
Yeah. And it really brings back that competitiveness, but in a really like jovial way. And I think, I don't know, I need to talk to some of the other younger cats, but I'm curious to how other people, aside from yourself, who's like a hip hop scholar as well, like the rest of us, how they're taking to it. If they just hear it as just kind of like, oh, this just sounds like some old school type shit, or if it genuinely intrigues them, piques their interest. Cause when I looked at the numbers, I think it's got like 1.5 million views. And even for some of the younger, quote unquote, more known artists, like for the older ones, I've been on like years, like 80K, 50K. So I'm like, okay, so maybe this really is getting some traction.
I find it weird though, because I did think, like, I feel it's interesting because, yeah, like you said, it kind of kicked off probably like 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, this is like the kind of second way. And I feel like it's really interesting because I did go back and I went and listened to like the one that Joey's kind of, and I saw it again, like a sneak disc. And I was just like, this isn't particular, like, it's cool, but it's not anything particularly incendiary. And then I kind of felt all the way through it, it was like all the kind of TD, whether it's Daylight or Ray Vaughan, all that sort of thing, I was just like, none of these tracks are like really hitting me, like whether it's beat selection or just like, I'm just not really vibing with it. And it's interesting because I feel like everyone's like, hey, oh, Joey got like mobbed by essentially like, because he like the whole 20v1 sort of thing.
Yeah, it was like all of the West Coast came out to drop a Joey verse.
But also I was like, I was listening, I was like, I don't think any of these are particularly impressive, like in terms of, and then that's what I like about the spiral was like, okay, cool, kicks it off again. And then obviously I'm like, hey, well, like, it kind of has this, now I'm just like, okay, I'm a bit more invested in this. And the tracks that have come out so far, like, was it The Finals and Ho Era?
Yeah, Ho Era. Hoera, and that was by Ray Vaughan, right?
Yeah. We'll get into these before we'll use that as our kind of music segue.
I haven't listened to them yet properly, so. But
that's what I found with that. I was like, this is like, okay, cool. These are cool. Like, these are kind of the tracks I wanted to hear. Yeah. But it's interesting. And before we get into Hoera, like, what I found with Hoera, the interesting thing that I found was is that it's interesting to see how the Kendrick Drake's thing beef has kind of shifted, where Ho Era to me feels a bit like, I feel people in the chat were saying like, "Ayo, like it sounds very Kendrick kind of stuff," and it to me feels like, okay, cool, this is like one way you're trying to get ahead in the beef is have something that sounds good and sounds like it could play in a club, and there's like a bit more of a hook to it, there's a bit more something that can get that kind of mainstream appeal to it, to then like cement that your track is kind of constantly being played.
Yeah,
and I feel like it, Raymond's not Kendrick, so it's not like this doesn't necessarily have the same impact, but I was like, that was my thought when I was listening to it. I was like, this feels like it's like I can see the angle it's trying to go for
in like
this
it has kind a of, bounce to it or something. Mm. Oh, okay, yeah. And it, and I think though, to just to go back and use an example of how the, I guess that can make the difference as far as not just who wins the beef, but how the playability of a track.
Mm.
When I think about Meek Mill and Drake's beef, and Drake dropped, what was it? The one where he's like, I don't want to hear about this ever again. Even when she tell you that you're badass friends, it's like, trigger fingers, Twitter fingers, you getting body biased. Which, what was it? I'm going on with bars, but I can't remember the name of it.
No, it's not back to back,
Yeah, back to back. So when Drake dropped back to back, it was like a catchy song that you would want to bump, almost like hit him up, and I'm not comparing the two, one for one, but in the sense that, like, damn, this is, I can enjoy this. I think what Kendrick then did took to a whole another level, because it turned into a song that, if you believe, then, you know, there's no genres, but it was like a pop song in terms of it could be really popular. And I think that that also then is now playing into maybe with this back and forth, a lot of how people decide to release their tracks after that.
Yeah.
Just like looking for that kind of playability and enjoyability, as well as just trying to throw some hard bars in there. Just somebody. But we'll see.
Yeah, because that's what I did find about the finals, was like, ayo, like, okay, like, because that was the kind of thing that's like, for me, feels like, it's almost the difference between obviously when Drake and Push got into it, where it was like, obviously the story of Added On, there's no radio playability to that song, that's just brutal. Like, it's just bar, it's just the kind of like unpacking, it's just the brutality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I feel like Joey's kind of more in like that sort of like, ayo, like, it's just about the bars aspect for it, where I'm like, and I think there's different ways, and I think it's interesting, like you said, like what kind of those things that will kind of make this a lasting thing, or will make a track more lasting, or will kind of like sway a perception, an audience perception in terms of.
Yeah, no, I hear that. No, that's real. That's real.
All right, so let's get, we'll play both of them just to like, Ho Era and Finals, and then we'll get into this.
First time too.
Ayo, so this is Ho Era by Rayvon, and then we'll get into Finals from Joey Badass, and like a little bit of commentary afterwards, and then we'll into Sinners again.
Thanks.
You know you've been talking about me. Hey, hoey, is you stupid or you dumb? Popping it and spinning about a 20 V1. Hey, hoey, is you finished or you done? We don't give a fuck where you from, where you from? Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Baby Chief, you ain't even got a plaque yet. Fact check, we wanna see the numbers like a math test. Round Joey round, we gon' name it at your backpack. Real shit, you should act more and you should rap less. Every verse I ask with that BBL cost. West Coast, get it seasoned, now you heavy on the salt. Catch him at the Staples Center, bet you I'm a spark. Goofy, don't let power get your TV turned off. Nigga, what? Dude, and ran and tell them steppers who don't tap dance. Hoochie trash bands just for you to put them raps in. Conductor got you sounding like you in a jazz band. Why you going after Dottie, think he Pac-Man? Ooh, CJ like 40 and he on drugs. Click baiting for the honeycomb. Get your own buzz. Skeletons inside my closet playing boom thugs. I put the whole pro era on a pro plug. Hey, hoey, is you stupid or you dumb? Popping it to spin about a 20 V1. Hey, hoey, is you finished or you done? We don't give a fuck where you from, where you from. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Niggas won't smoke, I'm a vape lord. Walk around with nine on me, feel like I'm in grade four. I could send him to the stars, he get paid for. Standing next to soul ain't gonna save yours. Every verse, ho, we talking about, I'm back. We don't give a fuck about where you was or where you at. See, the fans only know you for the acts, not the blaps. I know where you was and you was never on a map. Look, sleeping one eye open, I'm in Futurama. Old heads ain't try to school you, let me do the honor. Stupid ass nigga, I could tell he never been in drama. Who
a nobody. I was writing for your baby mama. Call yourself speaking for the coast without backup. Drop a little 3-track EP and nigga, that's up. See what happened last time I had to beef a rapper. How you on TV and your homie using CapCut? Get active. Stop acting. Get active. Gain traction. Your last slap was in 2017 and I play ball. I could deal with niggas on the screen. Ray Whopper. Quick to turn a nigga to a rollout. Heard they moved the goalposts every time we show out. That's a live combo. It really is a blowout. That didn't respond. Now you trying to call Cole out, dumbass.
Hey, hoey, is you stupid or you dumb? Popping it to spin about a 20V1.
Hey, rock him, stupid ass nigga. Think he rock him. TDE superstar is jealous. He ain't locked in. I done pulled so many caps. I go to med school. Bullets flying by. Sound like sounds on a Neptune. Thought the beef was livestock. Really, it was Deadpool. For that energy, I gave him wings once I Red Bull.
Sorry, not sorry. Shit was weak. Pardon me. Pardon me. You made a whole EP. Copping, please. Copping what? Black man, let him breathe. Let him breathe. Nah, fuck that. Hang him from the popular trees.
He had y'all food like he do it for the sport. Snoop Dogg kicking over his little fort. Hey, bitch, you watch. You ain't carrying no torch. You that Ice Spice turning to the king of New York. What the fuck? Get active.
Get active.
Stop acting.
Stop acting.
Get active.
Get active.
Stop acting.
Stop acting.
Get active.
Get active.
Stop acting.
Stop acting.
Get active.
Get active.
Stop acting.
Stand up.
I'm back.
Right, stupid, are you dumb?
What kind of chop dog is you? You more a shit show. You was cloned in the lab, dog. You artificial. You known for your label, not because you're artificial. And I ain't gotta talk about I broke you artificial. Cause when I send shots at you, it be hard to miss you. Ain't gotta load a magazine just to press this issue. In fact, these ain't even shots, they miss you.
Right.
Trying to outclass a badass, so I gotta dismiss you. You all bark, no bite, but hit dogs, going holler. Caught a couple strays, now it's time I put them on the collar. I let them ride while I charge them for top dollar. You the next nigga getting dropped off a top roster. And I'ma be the reason. Okay, bet you sick dog looking for beef with a seasoned vet. I euthanize sick pups, nigga. You gon' see. You walking up the wrong tree, think you fucking with me. It's about time, top, let your ass off for the leash. Signed for 5 years, yet your biggest moment for me. Can't nobody name a single song you ever released. Even Crash Out wasn't your original beat. Every time Joey drop, you see he eats. I did more for you than the whole of TDE. It's too bad, nigga, you should have been signed to me. Somebody tell Top we about to start TDE. Funny how they gotta use the pro name for promo on the low, though. I really think you niggas is homo. The way you let that dick sit in your mouth. This that same dick licking I was talking about. You niggas would do anything for the clout. Crash out over niggas who won't even let you in their house. I bet you ain't even got this number. It's funny how the thirst is being disguised as hunger. Should have sat down, been humble, but now I gotta sun ya. This little ray of light will be the biggest shine of your whole life. I don't just flow, I talk to your soul on the mic. You don't want smoke with me, please just give me a light. You need me to buzz, I'm light years beyond Ray. Want me to engage, so you mention my fiance. Clearly I ain't scared to get in the ring. I mean, even Javante had to fight a couple bums just to be king. Fuck around, leave me no choice to slave on. Sugar in your tank, but you ain't no Sugar Ray Vaughan. Gave on, keep punching up with them pillow hands. You ain't even the middle man, you just a little man. Fuck with my feet, we throw hands like Rayman. You ain't no Ray Liotta, how much you made, man. Said I wouldn't talk about your pocket, but hey, man, you need an optician just to see Ray-Bans. Go fetch a coffee for your CEO. Cause judging by the numbers, clearly I can see he old. Your mouth running cause your pockets run on low. I'm active and I'm active, yeah. And that's something only me and Pac would know. Play with fire, then you gon' get burned. Listen and learn, kid. You was better off as the intern. Better yet, a mascot. I've been a beast with these flows. Nigga, you can ask that. Illuminati part two. Yeah, that was my last shot. And it's the difference between that and rulers back. Let's be clear. I salute you, Kenny, but I know you well aware. You looking for some competition? Then just know that I'll be right here. Straight like that.
Look. Yeah. Oh.
Live nigga rap. Live and direct.
Yeah.
I'm back.
New York City. You are now rapping. But you're a badass. You gotta love it. Yeah. That's right. Joey Brunson. Yeah.
failed the test. Fucking failed.
And we are back on the Black House, 106.1 FM. That was the finals from Joey Badass. Well, again, just like quick take, like obviously, like this is one of the things I feel like these sort of things you need. We need time to formulate your thoughts, yeah. But like initial response, like thoughts sort of thing.
Yeah, quick take. I give it a medium well. Mm. Medium well, like kind of a medium to medium well. I like the energy he's coming with. Like, we haven't really heard Joey. Yes, in this kind of back in a while, particularly because like he said, he hasn't really put out like regular music in quite some time, doing a lot of acting. And I don't know if, generally speaking, people ever really saw Joey as that kind of, not aggressive rapper, but somebody whose lyrics are such that if he came for somebody in a battle type, he would be interested in the back and forth. But I think this is one of the occasions he's kind of proven people wrong, like, and then also... Willing, the fact that he's willing to pick up his pen every time and drop a song, that's what kind of matters most in this. It's really like, okay, what is your pen going to say end of the day? You know? So I'm really interested. I'll be all right. Yeah. I'm okay.
It's interesting. Yeah, I always find with Joey, like, that sort of thing. Like, I feel like, but when I started uni, so like 2017, I feel like it was at that point in time, and like obviously Kendrick and Drake had been kind of big, but before Cole, like, really, really, I think like Cole's kind of like, the run to me where Cole cemented himself, and this might be a generational thing as well, but like the run for Cole that cemented himself was like 2019, when suddenly he had like, there was obviously the, all the Dreamville stuff, there was like, King, was it K.O.D.?
Kids on Drugs, I think, came like 2 years before that, like 2016, 17.
Yeah, like
I run up to 19.
Yeah, I feel like there was that kind of like, that was the kind of run that cemented Cole as one of those kind of like big artists, and I feel like, at the time, I remember, because I assume must have been like All American Badass must have been around that same kind of time. I have a feeling that was the sort of thing of like, I almost feel like a lot of people, like, and after the last shout out to my mate Muhammad, like, my mate Muhammad's always been like, I think Joey is probably the best out of that entire, that pool of four sort of thing. But it almost feels like, I guess maybe because he went down the acting route, maybe just like, just. I don't know exactly what it is or like, but it's felt like he probably just didn't get that same kind of level of blow up. Yeah, and then,
I agree.
But obviously with that probably came different opportunities, like the acting stuff, like that I feel like. So I feel like the conversation I've always had is that Joey's definitely in that kind of top tier. It's just that because it's so specifically defined now by Kendrick, Drake and Cole that it's like, where does he kind of quite fit? So he's not kind of, there's almost like there's not really a space for him. Yeah, and I thought, because that's kind of the, feels like sort of the backing of like some of the stuff is that Joey is trying to take shots at Kendrick a bit sort of thing. Yeah. And again, I feel like that would be interesting to see, because I feel like it would be interesting to get that vibe, because I feel like that would be something I'd like to see Kendrick do, is like, okay, cool. Like, obviously the whole point of the Drake sort of thing is like, this is someone who doesn't belong to the culture. This is someone who isn't part of the culture in my view, and a lot of people's view, that like, I'm calling that out. I want to push them out sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of keen to see how someone who is like very much in the culture, like who very much belongs to the culture, like how that would look as a kind of sort of thing.
As a sort of parallel to,
or even Joey and like Cole or something like that. Like, I feel like that would be.
Did they come out? I think they probably came out around the same time, but I see them in such different classes that me personally, I don't know if I wouldn't be too interested in it. Like, I really wouldn't. I'd be, because I just feel like Cole would kind of. Well, not wipe the floor with him, but I think that there would be more interest in Cole, given what he's put in as far as the run up to this period and how he solidified himself, whether it was through features or individual projects or group projects through Dreamville.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. I feel like, I feel like that's one of those things where I feel like, I was talking to my mates about it the other day, and I was like, I'd kind of like to see, as like a concept album sort of thing, and literally just have it as like, it doesn't need to be like a beef, but it can just be like, here is like a dueling album, a dual album where it's like, oh cool, like, and like you could do it, like you could have like, whether it's like Cole and Joey, so you could have like one cover, like I was almost saying that, like you get like a side profile of Cole and like with yellow background, side profile of Joey with an orange background, kind of like, and it's like a reversible vinyl sort of thing.
Like I
was
a speaker like, box, Love Below type
thing. And just like have something where it's like, okay, cool, like here is just track after track. It's just like you guys come at each other, and it doesn't necessarily need to be like at each other, but it's just like, cool, like let's put this on competition in terms of like, you know, we're both going to grow from this, we're both going to get something from this in the sense of like, but it's like, it kind of gets that competitive aspect without necessarily going into like, okay, here's like the kind of like ego threat aspect to it. That obviously a lot of like actual beef kind of spins out into.
Yeah. Yeah, nah. I think that would be a good shout, so to speak. I think maybe who would I feel personally like who would be a better competitor? Maybe even a, I don't know if this is a hot take, an IDK and Joey. As opposed, even though IDK, I think he's one gen rap-wise after him. I'm not sure if you listen to his stuff much, but I'd see them up there. He's from the DMV area. I think he's Baltimore, Ghanaian background initially, but he's very much like Kanye-esque in the way that he also produced a lot. Like, he produced a lot. I think he produced quite a bit for people, and then, or not and then, but he was also rapping at the same time, and then, yeah, just put it all out at once. He's pretty fire. But I also think falls in that sort of box is similar to Joey in that his skills get just overlooked quite often. And I put myself and include myself in that as well as someone who does the overlooking. Like I said, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm not that interested in some of Joey's stuff. And then other things like the, the album just before the American Badass one, which was what? I think it was called Before the Cash. Before the Cash or something like that. It was the one that had Show Me was on it, and it was one of those. I feel like it was just hit for hit for hit.
The old one.
Before the Cash.
Damn, it's so many tunes.
Yeah, he's got a lot. And then he dropped like one called 2002.
Yeah, 2022 came out.
That was fire. That was fire. Such a good project.
Yeah,
it must have been like Cash or something. But yeah, that was a really good one. That was like a no skip style Joey Badass project.
But yeah, I feel like that's the kind of thing I'm just like, oh yeah, before the cash.
So good. So good. The production on it were phenomenal. And that's another thing too. I think given his flow, which is versatile, and maybe the tone of his voice, he really need productions that kind of complement him and where the beat doesn't overshadow his delivery.
Almost sit there and go, it's almost like the kind of avenue that I feel probably fits into is like, obviously, like, I'm not necessarily on the same level of, but it's like kind of falling into that kind of like Ransom, that sort of like, I feel like that's the kind of thing of like, cool, like, you can be a fantastic lyricist. You can like, and you can go hard.
Yeah.
Or like RJ Payne, sort of thing where you're like, okay, you can be hard and you can be in that space, but it's like, you're not going to see the same, you're not going to see like the mainstream success of these people.
Exactly.
And also I just feel like, I don't know, the fact he's transitioned into acting, like, as a sort of thing, and like, I remember him as Inspector Deck in the first season of Wu-Tang, and that
killed it. I was actually really tight that he couldn't stay on for that. I don't remember what else he was doing and why he couldn't.
I think it was Power, or Raising Kanan.
Raising Kanan, his character's still there, right?
I
don't watch Raising Kanan, but that would make sense. That would make sense, play the long game for the bag.
But I feel like it's a sort of thing. Like, I feel we've always talked about like artists that we kind of feel like, obviously both of us is like Wale is our one of like who we kind of people who never quite got there or never got to the kind of level we feel like they should have probably got.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, man, I think Attention Deficit is still a classic project. Doesn't get its just desserts at all. At all. And then the About Nothing projects and the mixtapes that he dropped. And I think the album was the album About Nothing as well, where he got Seinfeld to do some different skits through the introduction to it and stuff. But
Was it the Summer and Sunset mixtape or something like that? Like, I feel that was one of the things, because I feel like when I went overseas, like, I just downloaded DatPiff and I was like, yo, like, let's just download every mixtape conceivable sort of thing. And I just had, like, just, like, pulling back random. I was like, I heard a while ago, I'll download a mixtape. Like,
straight up. Yeah, man, it was a good time.
Hey, yo, but I feel like, actually, we spent about half. This, I feel like, it's a good split. Like, because I feel like we jump into some sinner stuff now sort of thing. Because I feel like, have you seen it? Oh, I feel like you went and saw it again. I feel like.
I think I did, man. I've seen it so many times. Yo, and quick update. It is in IMAX at Queensgate.
Yo.
Again, I don't know if, it looked like they did stop, but I guess they did bring it back as well. But they didn't announce it. So I think they got 8:15 p.m. showings IMAX if anyone's interested.
Ooh.
I don't know how long though, but it's definitely worth seeing in the proper IMAX. Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. I think last time when we finished off, we were saying we didn't even really get to like the twins aspect, really.
We kind of just, yeah. It was one of the things that I feel like, it was just like, even just getting caught in like the spirituality and like, obviously like a lot of, it was like, we were almost talking about the stuff that like, it's like hero conversations that flow using the movie as a foundation. We're not even talking about the movie really in itself sort of thing.
Exactly. I mean, there were so many layers to it. And I think you maybe have touched on briefly when we were going into spirituality about how why Ryan Coogler chose twins was because of the importance in twins in, just African descendant culture, majority of indigenous cultures, but especially in Yoruba Ife, I think was the name of the god. I actually pulled it up.
Ibeji.
Yeah, Ibeji, yeah. And just to give a quick sip right for those who don't know. So in Yoruba culture, twins are believed to be magical and are earthly representations of an Orisha. A spirit sent by the supreme being to assist humanity. This Orisha, named Ibeji, is believed to have the powers of fertility and prosperity, and especially protected by the god of thunder, Sango. Just like twins, the Ibeji is also two individuals, according to the spirituality, sharing a single soul. Due to this belief, the Yoruba's called twins, Ejire, excuse my pronunciation if it's not right, meaning double rhyme, or to be exact, two persons that rhyme with each other, two persons that are the same. Also, the name Ibeji literally translates to double birth, which in recent times is also taken to mean double blessings.
Mm.
Which when we see the two characters as Stack and Smoke, well, I mean, you witness that be manifested. But given the journey that they've had, it's quite interesting that whilst they've been blessed in so many ways, whether that's through Annie's character, who is obviously Smoke's love interest, and spoiler alert, and the mother of their deceased child, or Stack in a different way also, and how they complement one another, but they're also so different than one another. And equally, they, as we see, can't live with without one another.
Yeah.
And whether that's more metaphorically in the case of Stack, given that he chose, you know, quote unquote, like to live eternally, but is also dead in the sense that he's a vampire, is now not living with Smoke anymore.
And I feel like I really enjoy it's this sort of thing of like, even just like, just the dynamics, obviously, like there's the bit at the very beginning where it's the rat, they find the rattlesnake that's kind of gone in this stuff. And it's a sort of thing of like, because they're both soldiers, and I feel like the whole thing is like, but you see Smoke is very clearly a soldier. Like, Smoke, you can very clearly see like, you are the much more kind of, I don't want to say violent, but more military, like you're the more violent, kind of like more like impulsive in that kind of sense of things. Whereas Stack, it's like the old thing is like they have like, they wear, Smoke like stabs rattlesnake through the head, sort of thing, which it pains me because I love snakes. Like, I was like, yeah, something's just like, it's like, oh, that's the thing. You know how movies people like, whenever something happens to a dog in a movie, like, that's kind of game over. It was like, yo, I was sitting there be like, yo.
That was you when you saw the rattlesnake.
It was like,
that was hilarious.
But I feel it's the whole thing of like, when Smoke like grabs the knife off Stack's belt, sort of thing, and it's Smoke's knife, but it's Stack's the one who holds it, and there's obviously like, and obviously then when you're in the juke joint, there's very clearly like Stack's the one in the midst of it all. Like Smoke's obviously kind of on high, looking down on it, because like
on alert mode. Yeah. And always taking that role, as he said, because he's the one who was, although they're twins, born first. And he really does take that kind of stereotypical older brother role.
Mm.
And even when they depart early on, telling him, yo, be careful. He says, I will. And then telling preacher boy Sammy, yo, this guy don't know how to watch his own back. And him mentioning to that to him when they were fighting in the barn, one of the last scenes between the two of them, and he's holding the stake over Stack, and he says, I'm sorry I couldn't keep you safe. And he's like, don't be sorry, you always did. Oh man. And just, so it was almost like that release that he was allowing him to feel, that relief. And I think as we were discussing too, off air prior to this, was how informed the representation of them was by traditional practices, West African practices, and how, whether that's trickled down into things like voodoo and in Haitian Creole or many indigenous cultures, where if a twin passes away, there's some forms of rituals that need to take place, because more often than not, and you can look this up statistically, a lot of times when one twin passes, the other passes shortly thereafter. Mm. So if there's always been some kind of, I don't want, for lack of thereof, like supernatural or spiritual link between two individuals of that sort. So it was crazy to see that depicted through the metaphor and guise of horror and vampirism as well.
Yeah. And I feel like, obviously, even the fact that Stack's the one who gets turned is the fact of, like, obviously, like, the whole, this guy doesn't know how to watch his back. Like, and obviously, like, there's that kind of, like, this, and obviously he gets seduced by Mary Sid or something, but obviously there is that kind of, like, is that kind of degree of, like, you know, someone who's like, hey, well, like, I'm just enjoying the vibe. I'm like, And I guess to the fact that like there's the first sole focus of where you're like smokes, like this is business. Like I don't got, we're like, we're here to run a business. Like, yeah, we can enjoy ourselves a bit, but like this is a business sort of thing. We're trying to watch this. Whereas Smokestack's like, hey, well, I want to actually be a part of this. I want to vibe it sort of thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Even down to how, when Stack was asked by Sammy if they really killed their father, which I guess was some form of thing that the town knew or suspected.
And that's kind of why, upon the reason why they kind of left.
Like. Exactly. And Stack clarified it. No, Smoke did. And so he's kind of always had to, or at least felt as though he had to kind of take that role, perhaps since that moment or even before that. Because he said between the two of them, Stack used to get the most beatings of their father as well.
Well, that was the one where it's obviously like with Sammy as well, like the bit where they ask us, like, "Ayo, like your dad beat you? Does your dad lay a hand on you?" Yeah, sort of thing. And it's that sort of thing. You're like, "Ayo, like if Sammy had been like, yeah, like I feel like they were ready to like, do the same again."
Yeah,
like,
they definitely were. And I think because was it Smoke who asked that question?
I think so. Like, yeah,
yeah. And it was interesting that despite Stack being the one who received most of the beatings, him having so much empathy for their father, because he said he didn't meet it much though. It was quite an interesting duality, because even in the moments, I think the way they spoke about it, the only time you really heard Smoke speak about their dad was at the end when he pointed out about the guitar.
Do you think there was kind of looking through that, like there are other kind of erasure connections to a lot of those characters? Like, because I feel like, because I'm trying to work out, like, I feel like Delta Slim kind of feels like fits into, like, I don't know exactly where it kind of fits into the archetype, but I feel like Delta Slim is someone where I feel like there's kind of, I feel there's a kind of that sort of bit, like, kind of angle to him a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I can definitely see that. I wish I knew all of their names in canonically and things like that, taxonomically wise, to be able to speak towards it. But as you say it, I definitely feel as though that's the case. Like, even the presence of certain things, whether even if not necessarily people, whether that be the vultures that we saw that we spoke about before, or the way that water was used towards those ending scenes, and where Remick is sort of giving Sammy a quote unquote reverse or new baptism, if you will, when he was about to potentially turn him to a vampire. Yeah, and then as we know, there's an Orisha about water that's about transformation and flow and things like that.
Because I feel like obviously the thing I'm talking about, like, I guess, like, and I feel like Delta Slim's and all those characters, like, again, like, Delroy Lindo is fantastic. But, like, and obviously the thing, everyone kind of sits there and go, like, there's the whole thing of angle, he's always kind of drunk. So there's a little bit, but it's also, like, the fact, like, obviously when he's, like, recounting the story of being, of, like, obviously, like, was it his brother getting lynched, or, like?
Nah, one of his friends. Yeah. One of his friends that he used to do music with, and I guess said they would panhandle, I think he said.
Yeah.
Something like that up in.
Even the sort of thing where, like, you can see, like, as he's going through that, and, like, you can see obviously drinking through that, but also that's the thing, like, he starts kind of like hitting that beat and, like, starts, like, he's like, okay, cool, I'm like, that's just the music isn't like the. I feel like it's very easy to be like, ew, the alcohol is what's numbing the pain, but, like, the music is also, like, how he's kind of, like, expressing that sort of thing as well, which I thought was really interesting. And I feel like,
For sure. I'd be curious to see, like, was it you who brought it up in terms of the way that Slim, quote unquote, sacrificed himself? Like, that he was almost like he's literally on the altar on the stage in the music, kind of arms stretched out. And in that savior like, almost Christ like figure as far as how he was represented. But also, he's the person, you know, he's the quote unquote drunkard, so he's the person to forgive. But also, he's the individual who gave so much wisdom to Sammy about the role of music and how important it is and was.
Well, that's when he's like, talks to Sammy, when, like, obviously Sammy's about to start performing, and he's like, yo, hold up, and, like, introduce yourself. And I feel like someone was like,
tell him who you are, he says.
And that's the whole thing where I feel like someone's also like, but that's also like, introducing Miles Caton as well. It was like,
it was so good. I actually was curious if that was another line that Coogler intended to write for the same effect that he did similarly in Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, in just the importance of describing who you are and what you represent, and where you're coming from. I mean, we see that in so many cultures, whether you're looking at it in terms of an African-American context, like, hey, where you from? Where your daddy stay? Where your mama stay type of thing. Or looking at names and the importance of that. Or just looking at fuck a pop and someone discovering or knowing their pepia. There's always just that importance of speaking from the place of your roots and grounding. Yeah. So, you know, he said, so he called me preacher boy because my daddy's a pastor down at XYZ. He said, I'm a sharecropper at so-and-so plantation. I was like, okay. And then everyone's like, yeah, you pretty much, you let them know who you are. So, and then obviously the music starts and then the ancestors come, which is still that scene gives me chills when I think about it every time. Yeah.
I feel like if I get a chance to, I will try to see that, because that's the scene, like, I feel like even just to see that scene in IMAX would just be like incredible.
The colors and the sound, I can't speak highly about it enough. Like, it's just so good.
But it's interesting, like, and one of the things I found actually on the twins thing before we kind of move this, one of the bit I want to touch on, the twins thing that I think is interesting is, like, obviously when there's the bit where Smoke's like wasting the KKK essentially, and obviously, like, there's obviously, I feel like one of the comments I've seen is that, like, we don't know at what point Stack left the scene, sort of side of thing. We know he survives, we don't know at what point at what point that happens. And I'm curious to be like, obviously I think part of that kind of bit was obviously ultimately to bring Smoke back to Annie and his daughter, but I also think there's something interesting about the idea of, like, if Stack's inside the barn still, and obviously the clan burn it down, like, it's almost like, even though we think that kind of final moment is like them possibly him killing his brother, and obviously we find out that then he couldn't bring himself to do it, I almost feel like then looking at that again, you look back and go, oh, like, is Smoke obviously was going to waste the clan anyway, but I also feel like that's the last time he protected his brother. That's the last time he went.
That's crazy. I didn't even. Actually, yeah, it would either had to have been then, or it would have been when he, after that scene where he was on top of him about to stake him. Because what in the post-credit scene, when he's describing Smoke not being able to kill him, the cut that they use wasn't actually, although it was him running around with, wasn't it?
Mary, yeah.
That was the cut from when I think they were stabbed earlier, or the fire started earlier. It wasn't actually a later one. So that would be a really interesting take.
I feel like that was when Annie dies, right? Like, Mary kind of, like, because I think that's almost the thing of, like, because they're almost, they're part of, like, the hive mind. It's almost like that's the hive mind of the vampire. So, like, they can be individuals, but they're also tied to Remick. But then that was the moment where it's like Annie dies, and it's that sort of thing of someone, like, choosing to, like, I don't want to be caught in between. I don't want to be trapped in my soul to be trapped in my body.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting in the idea of, like, but then obviously this person who they all loved, who was like central figure, like, dies, that's what snaps them out of it. It's not like some movies where I feel like that would be the spark where suddenly they turn on the other vampires, right? It's the spark that just wakes, either where it's like brings their personality up, brings them back up to the surface, and then that's the enough break to be like, I'm out of here, like, right, to gap it out. But
that's beautiful.
But the other thing I kind of was thinking on is, like, the end scene where obviously, like, Sammy's like, what, in his like 80s 90s, like, and obviously he's this Buddy Guy playing him,
shout out Buddy Guy,
but it's 1992, and I'm pretty sure it's in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah
It's weird to me. So, like, someone pointed out that in Black Panther, when Killmonger's dad gets murdered, it's 1992 in the Bay Area. Ooh. And someone's obviously, Ryan Coogler's from the Bay Area, but I'm genuinely curious. Like, that's one of the things, like, I'd be really curious to hear is, like, is it, what about 1992 for Ryan Coogler is like a specific moment? Like, is it just one of those things? And I'd be keen to see, like, is it something that comes up in Creed, for example, even just to have that kind of, like, is this something, a bit like when, you know, Tarantino has his motifs, or, like, you know, different art directors have their kind of motifs that they kind of thread through.
Yeah.
To even do, like, 1992 in the Bay Area, what does that represent for Ryan Coogler, sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would love to actually Google and deep dive to see if anyone's threaded that together. Because I know he's from the actual street where the Black Panther Party was founded.
Mm.
So he often litters so much about community, which they spoke about as well in some of the press junkets I was watching for Sinners, and the importance of how community is formed, how it can be destabilized, how it's used to heal, how it can, you know, just there's so many aspects of it that he weaves through, not just this narrative, but all of the stories that he tells one way or another. So yeah, 1992, that's interesting. Yeah, I was trying to think of, like, you know, it was the anniversary of the MOVE bombing in Philadelphia a few days ago. So I was like, oh, and that was, I think, 93, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, huh. There was a lot going on in that time as well, as far as just the community of the whole, which I think gets overlooked.
And I just think, I guess it's just interesting because, yeah, I guess one of my friends was like, is it kind of a bit of like a, someone people talk about, like, I guess Sinners being a bit of a, I guess, fuck you for, like, obviously the creative control on Black Panther sort of thing for Ryan Coogler. And then someone's like, hey, was it just be like, hey, well, like, said it 992, the Bay Area is just like, hey, I'm going to take some of the same motifs and stuff.
Going right back, yeah.
But then, I don't know, I find it really interesting. Like, I just kind of like, yeah, and I'm just one of the things, I wonder if someone's asked Ryan Coogler that. And I feel like that would just be a real cool question to be like, hey, like, is it just something about, is there something just about that year for you even? Like, that was the year you got your, you know, you got your first camera sort of thing. Well, that was the first year you first, like.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We should tweet them and tag the Black House and see if he replies back.
Hey, Ryan Klug exclusive with it.
Yeah, right? Like, you never know, man. You never know. Close mouth don't get fed.
Hey, I might say we jump into another couple of songs and then kind of wrap up from this sort of thing.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, so next tune we have is Power from Jess B, Sam Pretty Gray, and Sister Nancy, which is fire. Like.
Let's go.
Because I came and I saw and I conquer what it is. More strength and power to them women. Jess B, big up yourself. Sam Pretty Gray, Sister Nancy, Sinners One Street. Run it. Boom.
They say knowledge is power, so we moving mountains. I've been climbing for a while, now the view is stunning. Never silent, never quiet, hear the people shouting. And I walk with that drip, it's that shit you can't pick. Yeah, I smile at my reflection, cause I know I'm the shit. They tap into my black skin, yeah. I stay ready for that action. Yeah, don't know my people tight like a contraction. And we move like Kenny, like Jackson.
Original, Sister Nancy, it's a woman faith. We come from the lamb to the slaughter, the original black power. From them, they are woman strength. Run it straight.
Hey, that's power in my veins, let it go. Yeah. Hey, that's power in my veins, let it show. Yeah. Tap into this cousin, now you know that I know. Yeah. Feeling like a boss, let it move, let it grow. Hey, that's power. Yeah. Hey, that's power. Yeah. Hours. Their flow is their hours. Oh, you know I build it from the floor, so there's towers. Anyone who can, they may timber. We let them know that I've been waiting for a minute, make another one. Oh, I've been riding for a minute. I'm a classic, you a gimmick. If you thought that I was winning, so that you could try and mimic. You should listen to them, niggas. You should know your shit's got limits. And I think your shit is whack. Up the first one, do it better. Ego builds cracks like fractions. We just be born from the action. Like, I ain't feeling it. Bitch, I'm killing it. You ain't listen, I'm the end and the beginning is.
Original, and when I say original, I mean the original. Original.
I believe in the dream, what you attract to my nigga. I believe in the dream, what you attract to my nigga. Like, yeah, we really do this shit. Like, whoa, okay, baby, breathe and let it flow. Like, whoa, tap in, cause we ain't been the same no more. All my people to the front, keep the door.
Power. mad at us. Try act mad when the gang come through. Anyone left in the way get brushed. Scared for your life in the streets, that's you, you. Pain on the mic, that's us, us. All when the gang come through, through. Stand in the way, get brushed. Air Force Ones in their white man steps. Anyone step on a set, get stepped. Fresh when I touch my foot, one neck. Step on the stage, show, step on the deck. Age of my dog, but I Liverpool vet. Can't book big man for a minimal check. Shell down Tokyo, shell down France. Them man ain't shell Liverpool yet. I'm ahead of my time. Yeah, I make beats now, no side chain on the rhythm I shine. Studio hype, so cool, that's fine. Real life cash buying your flat line. New Yak black tie with a backside. Man can't chat mine, I'm a black guy. Just call Zoo like, bro, I need a TV show with a co-host and a catch line.
Funny business, now that ain't been a factor. But for my little comedy, I got a BAFTA. I'm always building, I've never been a builder. Still, I am a big contractor. If you want me to sign any multiple zeros, and grime, I had multiple heroes. But when I passed them, I realized that little weirdos spitting in white girls' ear holes. That's sad for the crew. MTP to the world, and back is the truth. I just secured the bag, and nigga back in the booth. Now it's B.I.B.I. Back to the zoo. Back to the hunger, back to the roots. If I run up on a youth, then that's actually news. That's why I gotta hold it down. That P.O.P., I'm legally blind to abuse.
Facial flows on the mic, that's who. Can't get spun on the set, that's us. Try hard bad when the gang come through. Anyone left in the way, get brushed. Scared for your life in the streets, that's you, you. Pain on the mic, that's us, us. All when the gang come through, through. Stand in the way, get brushed, brushed.
My brother's good, I can never envy yours. I don't do no online verbs, man's really outside trying to empty force. Contemporary thoughts. Headshot bang, trying to leave him with an empty corpse. Ghost really online, trying to cop him an MP5 slide there and make an MP4. Send man to the sky like Romanos. You don't want to see me in a ride with frost that stops at your door like dominoes. I don't want to hear another empty send when bro had been speaking monotones. Stuttering, shaking, you don't want to see me outside with a mask like Kakashi says. Yeah, I'll crack man's face like Obito. Can't hear pain on the mic like S. Come right back, man, fuck up the sets. Man for the flows, man cashed in checks. Legendary guy come through, I flex. All of this vibe from a 5P text. Man done shows and boats and jets. MTP, that's a worldwide flex. Shut down show, give me that bread. ETS, man, knock off the dodge. All specialists from Russia to France. Smoke man down, now I won't give a chance. Reload the rave in a soldier's dance. Glacial bars, leave gal in a trance. Flows unmatched, I am top class. Mudrick team when I fling that pass. ETS, man, I knock off the dodge.
I'm from South, but I'm loved in West. West, my team paid, I'm blessed. Been in the gym, put a one up on the chest. Press, roll to the set, no best. Don't sleep and I'm coming for the next check. Ain't touched gram in a sec. Bitch van got my hand up on the left breast. She wanna spend time with a friend. Time in the ends, rolled on time in the pen. Biggie don't talk about timing again. Man's back now, firing again. Didn't want war, no time for a send. Didn't want war, no time for a clash. Time for the cash, just about time for the nash. Sit back, roll one, got a line with a hash. You don't wanna get hit in your pie with a mash.
Facial flows on the mic, that's who. Can't get spun on the set, that's us. Try hard bad when the gang come through. Anyone left in the way, get brushed. Scared for your life in the streets, that's you, you. Pain on the mic, that's us, us. All when the gang come through, through. Stand in the way, get brushed, brushed.
Rest in peace, Esco, man. Long live Graham.
We are back on the Black House, 106.1 FM, into our final 5 minutes.
You're black like we never left.
Ayo, so actually, I was going to say, the reason why I kind of pulled us back in is Ayo, because if people are free tonight, make sure you get down to Heartbreaker Bar and Chicken. We're me, DJ Colios, CRG, and Dave are all, we've got a, I think what it's called, Afro Soulscapes. And it just, it's going to be a good vibe. Like, it's going to be, I feel we're going for, like, it's going to be housey, like, house, I'm a piano. I'm going to do a, probably a garage set.
Hey.
Because I'm just like, cool, I haven't done a garage set in a while. I'm just
as
like,
you home. Should, as you should.
And, like, I'm trying to work out, and it's one of the things I want to talk to you more about at some stage, because I'm trying to work out, like, I'm trying to increase my collection of Jersey club music and like Philly club music and sort of thing. But I'm also like, I'm watching like a lot of like online sets and stuff like that. I'm trying to work out, what makes a good like Jersey club set? In your opinion, what makes a good Jersey club set? Cause I'm trying to hit that balance of like, this is something that I feel like I haven't heard at all in New Zealand. I'm just like, I want to try like, slide it in somewhere, but I'm also just trying to work out like, I feel like, what's gonna get it? What's the best way to structure this in a way that just kind of like shows, like gives the essence of what this music is about? Like,
man, that's such a great question. I don't even know if I'm the best to answer it because obviously I moved from Jersey when I was 17. So like that peak college years when everyone was going crazy, especially to it. I missed, but didn't miss. I was back home for the summers, but it's that bounce, man. It's something about the bounce. And when you hear it, it just, it just makes you want to get about your seat and, you know, move your ass, so to speak. Like, it's just, I could say it's the BPMs, but it's not even just the BPMs. It's something about the sound, the just the essence of it. just has like a heartbeat that's just different. And of course, it's really influenced and impacted, Baltimore club as well. Like these days, there's a lot of crossover. However, and Baltimore club being linked to go-go music. But yeah, Jersey club just is that bounce, man. As you were asking me the question, I was trying to visualize and hear all the songs that I know. And I was just moving in my seat and I was trying to think. It's just like, yeah, it's just something about it. It's just, you know, when you're young, you just got.